Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. It is wonderful to see all of your smiling faces on this beautiful January morning. It is great to be in worship with all of you today as we prepare to praise God and hear a word from Pastor John. My name is Loretta Jobe. I'm a retired deacon who hangs out around this place with all of you in mission and ministry and in fellowship. So it is great to be here with you today. In your bulletins as you walked in is a connection card. Very important today. You're going to need to hold on to those, get those filled out. There's a registration on there that I'm going to talk about in the announcements, so hang on for that. There's also yellow prayer cards in the pew backs. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, please take a moment and fill one of those out. Put it in the collection plate or hand it to one of the pastors, and we will make sure that those prayers get said for your concerns. Today in worship helping us are Bruce Stark and Rose Bledsoe. As you can see, the choir is here with us this morning for some beautiful music. And if you haven't already sent your little ones to Sunday school, please take this moment to do that. They are downstairs and they will be having a great day today as well. I have three important announcements this morning. The first is about the prayer class that is coming up, Praying with Your Heart, Mind, Soul, and Strength. It begins on Thursday. It's on Thursdays beginning February 6th. It is a way to learn new prayer practices. They will be delving into a number of traditional as well as some things you may have not heard of before, but a way to get teach you to get closer to God and to be able to be in prayer throughout your life. Secondly, the open table. Adult lunch and fellowship. This is where you need those connection cards because we need you to sign up. It is a fabulous home-cooked meal that is served downstairs in the fellowship hall. There's a $5 donation if you are able to do that, but we need to know who's coming so we know how much food to prepare. We've had a little issue. A couple times we got snowed out and had to reschedule, so hopefully we're going to cross our fingers that this one will go well. So that happens on noon at February 6th, and again, please take a moment to register for that on the connection cards. And lastly, Super Bowl Sunday, coming up on February 9th, bring a bag of hearty or canned soups. We will be supporting the Northfield Township Human Services Organization. In this weather, you know, a good warm bowl of soup can make a big difference in somebody's day. So please plan on bringing in some soup for that Sunday on February 9th. Those are all my announcements for this morning, and I'm going to turn it over to Susan, who's going to lead us in our first hymn. We are all in one in mission. Please rise.
Join our voices now in the opening prayer. Lord, help us to see things through your eyes. Your word declares that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Thank you for including everyone so that we can all contribute to being reflections of you. Open our hearts to appreciate the diversity in our church family. Help us to embrace the varied gifts and talents that form our community. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 29. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Well, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were ears, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rose, for reading our scripture this morning. I want to invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us to be one body made up of many parts. Amen. So we're continuing our sermon series about living our vision. How we live that vision out is a reflection upon some work we did this last summer in a strategic planning process where we garnered feedback from people in the church. People sent emails, gave phone calls. They wrote down their thoughts on bulletins and stuck it underneath our doors. They oftentimes dropped off little notes at the church office to let us know where we feel called to go together as a church. And fortunately, we met this summer. Some of you were a part of that work, and we distilled down all of the feedback that we got into six different goals and objectives. And so today, we're going to be talking about the last two objectives of our strategic plan and just letting you know where we are and where we hope to go and who we hope to be and become in the next couple of years. And so the fifth goal of the strategic plan is an emphasis on creating programs and opportunities for seniors in our community. And the sixth goal is becoming a church without walls, without boundaries, without barriers, focusing on inclusion and accessibility for all so that everyone can feel welcome in this body of Christ. And that's what we're going to be talking a little bit about today. And I was thinking about it. It's nice that just a couple of moments ago, Deacon Loretta was up here announcing that our meal for seniors is taking place in early February. Folks have signed up for that. It's been a great time of fellowship. People have met each other, folks from Whitmore Lake and Brighton gathered together and talked and shared a meal together. The food was excellent, so major kudos to everyone who prepares those meals. But in addition to that, we're hoping that we continue to create opportunities for people to come here, and we're imagining that downstairs, just at the room at the end of Fellowship Hall, we can turn that room into a more diversifiable space that might be accommodating for like yoga classes or Pilates or whatever else folks might want to do to come to the church and experience not only spiritual wellness, but also physical health and emotional wellness as well. So we're focusing on sort of a holistic approach. Governments around the world have started entire branches of the government that have focused on human loneliness and isolation. People in our world today, despite feeling more and more connected through electronic means and social media, have discovered over time that part of their life story is that as they age in particular, they become more and more isolated and alone. And we are attempting in our own way to make sure that that isn't the case for people who call this spiritual community their home. Instead, we hope that over these meals and gathered around classes, perhaps Pilates and yoga and maybe tap class and who knows what else, there might be pickleball and opportunities for people to gather for all kinds of different activities. It's our hope that this is a place that people can come to reconnect and make new friends, build new acquaintances, and connect with people that might have shared life experiences and might be of a similar age or demographic. And so part of our strategic plan is to continue to create opportunities for people to come here and connect with other people. This last goal in our strategic plan is probably one of the most important to me. Building a church without walls. And some people have said, I don't really know what that means, Pastor John. I'd really prefer to have walls on the side of our church. I don't want to have a church without walls. I guess I mean it this way. We're striving to be a church without barriers so that everybody feels like there aren't any walls of the church, that anybody, and I mean anybody, can walk into this church at any given time and feel like they're welcome here, that there's nothing stopping them from getting here. This includes work on accessibility, making sure that our campuses, both of them, focus on being a place that is barrier-free. And you might not notice it particularly when you're walking around and perhaps you're throughout the course of the middle ages of your life and you imagine yourself sort of always being in that state and you don't recognize how a tiny little 1.5-inch threshold that goes into a new space, one place that divides one room to a next can create an incredible barrier for folks who use walkers or who are self-propelling themselves with wheelchairs. You have no idea how much that tiny little threshold can be a challenge to getting from one space to the next. Some barriers don't look huge or insurmountable at one point in your life, but then at another point in your life, you find yourself going, I'm not going in that bathroom. There's absolutely no way that I could ever use that facilities because between managing the door and getting myself over that threshold, it's just not possible. Some people have felt called to be a part of leading worship, but it's difficult for them to imagine going up the ramp on the side of the sanctuary and coming all the way around the piano and everyone else up here to get up to this space so that they could read a scripture. And I find myself repeatedly saying, like, I don't want to be the kind of person that creates barriers towards somebody answering a call that they have got from God to be a part of a ministry or community of faith. Instead, I find myself in a sort of fantasy world just like ripping down those barriers, knocking down those walls so that everybody can be a part of what God's calling them to do in their life. There are other boundaries and barriers that are less easy to identify and see. Sometimes people have a hard time coming into spiritual community. Maybe they're ashamed of something that they did long ago in their past, and so the boundaries aren't these little 1.5-inch boundaries between one room and the next. Sometimes they're psychological. They're in our mind. If I walk into a church building, I will be struck down with lightning instantaneously. God will be angry with me because I haven't been to church in years and years and years. And if I touch the Bible or the hymnal, I just will feel this sense of judgment in this moment because I don't feel worthy to be a part of the church. that's a boundary worth tearing down as well. One of the things that I learned when I was in seminary as I was going to school is, I for the first time in my life, I sort of hesitate to admit this, but it was in seminary that it was the first time in my life that I read the Bible through from cover to cover. And if you haven't ever done that before, I recommend reading it. And if you can get past Numbers and parts of Deuteronomy, you know, you really will do well throughout the rest of Scripture. But there's a couple of parts in the Bible that are sort of a challenge to overcome. And if you can get through that, the rest of the story is really good, I promise. But this particular text that we hold and revere is filled with story after story. But one of the things that I experienced when I read through the Scriptures, you'll remember the arc of the salvation story in the Scripture begins with just a couple of people. It begins with Adam and Eve, and God makes a promise to them. Behold, stay in this garden. Everything will be okay. Every need will be provided. There's absolutely, you know, nothing that you can't touch except for that tree over there, right? Don't eat of the fruit of that particular tree. And of course they do, and they break that law. But at that particular point, the covenant that God makes with humanity is just with a couple of people. It's very narrow in terms of the scope and the lens of God's salvation story. I will be your God. You will be my people. Just stay in the garden and don't eat the fruit. Everything will be okay. But as you continue on in the story, you hear this story about a man named Noah who feels called to build a boat. And he goes about and he starts constructing this boat because he believes that the world is going to come to an end and everything in creation will be washed away. All his neighbors look at this man and think, you're nuts. Why are you doing this? There's absolutely no reason for you to be concerned. It's sunny out. There's nothing to be concerned about. The sky's not falling. The world's not ending. The world's not getting warmer. Noah goes on building his boat, and sure enough, the rains come, the water levels rise, and in the midst of that, God makes a promise after everything is wiped from creation, I'm never going to do that again. I imagine it was hard for God in the midst of that moment to see that destruction, creation, he affirmed, would never be destroyed again by God's hand. A little bit later on in the Genesis story, we run into Abraham, and this promise is made not only to Abraham, but all of Abraham's descendants. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Remember, it started with Adam, just two people, and now it's this entire lineage of people that are the descendants from Abraham that God makes a promise to. I will be there for you. I will be your God. Be faithful in the midst of it all. In Exodus, as Moses is delivering God's people out of slavery, he makes this proclamation towards the end of that story, and he says, anybody else who wants to hitch a ride on this departure out of Egypt, I don't care if you're, you know, of the lineage of God's chosen people, but if you're faithful, if you follow my commandments, you too can be a part of this movement out of Egypt. We can evacuate everyone. Anybody who wants to hitch a ride on this train can come. And then Ruth, this Moabite woman, comes along, and she takes really good care of Naomi. And God says, you know what? Even you can be a part of the lineage of God's chosen people, even though you're not part of the tribe, even though you're not part of the family of God, you also can be included in this salvation story just because you are kind to people. You did the right things. You welcomed, in the midst of everything that's going on, Naomi, and you cared for her and you supported her, who was one of my own. David, the shepherd who becomes king, also is a part of the expansion of this covenant of God. Throughout all of the Scriptures, I remember reading in seminary, I loved coming across Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah, these prophets who said, no, we have this responsibility to care for every single person. And along came the United Methodist Church, and gosh darn it, we decided as we were emerging as the denominations to affirm this incredibly crazy thing that all persons are created in the image and likeness of God, that everybody carries within them a sacred spark of divine creativity, that we are all what are called theotokos, God bearers. We are all, created in the image and likeness of God, and so everybody matters. Everyone, every single person on the planet. It's part of the reason why in 2019 the church got together and they had this crazy vision that we were going to eradicate the disease malaria off the face of the planet. We sort of locked hands in the middle and decided that the church was going to raise $80 million to distribute bed nets to places like Malawi and Africa and Liberia and, you know, Ghana, everywhere that we could possibly send bed nets. And we dispatched doctors and nurses to train people in healthcare facilities all across Africa. And while we didn't completely eradicate malaria, and I wish I could say that, I wish I could say malaria is gone from the face of the earth, there was a vision in the United Methodist Church that even a child in a village somewhere halfway across the world, across the Atlantic Ocean, mattered enough to God that we would lock arms in the middle and raise $80 million. Actually, the goal was $75 million, and the church raised $80 million across the entire world to try to eradicate this disease. I'm proud to say that because of our compassion and our concern for folks in places in small villages all across Africa, malaria deaths in the years that followed 2019 went down by over 50%. We celebrate that as a huge accomplishment across the United Methodist Church. We aren't always great about reporting back the stories. We're like, yes, we raised $80 million. Let's not talk about it. We're quiet about it for some reason. But there are hundreds of doctors and nurses that were trained. There were healthcare facilities that were constructed, clinics that not only helped with malaria, but also assisted mothers who were going into labor and had complicated pregnancies. And an infrastructure was established for global health all around the world. In a couple of weeks, when I'm in Liberia, I'll see one of those health clinics with Dave and Pat Moore, who are also going with me to Liberia. We'll see one of those health clinics that was constructed with the funds that were collected during Imagine No Malaria. At this point in the sermon, you're probably going, where in the world is John going with all this? I don't know. I'm just on a roll this morning, so come with me. I guess to me, it all comes down to a commitment that we have as a church, part of our core values since the time of John Wesley, were that even coal miners who were uneducated, who were oftentimes ignored by most of society because they would go down sometimes thousands of feet beneath the surface of the earth into the coal mines, and nobody was teaching them school, and nobody was teaching them to read, and nobody was teaching them math, and John Wesley, mostly because ordinary people wouldn't listen to him in the colonies, he emphasized a ministry to the outcasts and the downtrodden. He was willing to sort of step outside the typical confines of the church to go preach on a rock in the middle of a field to anybody who would listen. That was our theological tradition. And people who had no access to opportunity outside of their line of work gathered sometimes by the hundreds to listen to this short, unpresumptuous man who, frankly, if you read his journals, was fairly obnoxious sometimes in his preaching. And they gathered and they listened. And John Wesley preached in a church without walls to people who oftentimes were completely forgotten by the society of his day. And that's why that value is so important to me, because it feels like something that's core to my identity as a United Methodist, that there isn't a single child anywhere in the world, a kid who's hungry in Africa, who's just begging that somebody will show up with a little bit of rice and beans, that he would be able to have some subsistence level living, matters to God every bit as much as everybody who gathers in the most important places in our society. That God cares as much for folks who are marginalized and oppressed as God cares for the people who sit at the right hand of the King. And that's the part of our faith that I find just flips the whole world on its head. It's why people from our church go down to Cass Community Social Services in Detroit. It's why we pack sandwiches for the NOAA project in the city so that even a homeless or housing insecure person in the city of Detroit knows that somebody out there in the United Methodist Church cares for them when they're starving, living underneath the bridge in these kinds of weather conditions. As the United Methodist Church, I think we're called to care for everybody, and that includes folks who are struggling with housing insecurity. It includes folks who are struggling with mental illness. It includes folks who are struggling socioeconomically. It includes folks who are struggling to wonder whether or not they're accepted within the church. I have this vision, this dream of everybody who walking through the church being greeted by folks like John and Joan Davis. Where are you guys? You're right back there, who are our greeters this morning. And I walked into the church, and there they were at their post right out here. I don't know who was downstairs this morning, but I have a dream that every time somebody walks into the church, they're greeted by a handshake, and immediately they have coffee. And thank you, Donna Dybert and your team. I saw Donna was walking out with cookies this morning, and I was just like, that's my church. Donna with a tray of cookies. Every Sunday, my kids, they just go running out to the fellowship hall. And I'm like, this is why I couldn't get you to eat cereal, you know? There are cookies and everything. It's not just the cookies, though. It's when somebody walks into the church and they're feeling that feeling of feeling judged. You can see it sometimes when folks are like, I haven't been to church in 20 years. You're welcome here. I don't know if I can put anything in the offering plate. I just lost my job and I don't know who to turn to. You're welcome here. I'm struggling because my family doesn't reflect traditional images of family. Maybe I'm a part of the GLBTQIA+ community. I don't know if I'm welcome here. You're welcome here. I'm struggling because I'm not sure whether or not I fit in with some of the other folks. I don't have the same nice clothes that other people seem to wear from time to time. You're welcome here. That's what I mean by being a church without walls. I dream of a church where everyone's welcome, and here's why. At the end of the reading of the scriptures through my seminary experience, and I don't mean to skip over Jesus, you can certainly see moments where he was in ministry with the centurion servant, the Samaritan woman, the Canaanite woman. Jesus all of the time went out of his way to cross some of those boundaries. Oh, we don't associate with those kinds of folks. They're outside of the covenant that God established. And Jesus was like, hold on to my, you know, whatever, and I'm going to go over and care for them. That was Jesus's energy time and time again. But by the time we get to Revelation, John, who's writing this entire book from the island of Patmos, casts a vision for the kingdom of God where everybody on the earth is welcome. It's an image that he casts for all of us as a big banquet where everybody is able to come and there's enough food for everybody. And I find myself working towards that vision, a dream where people just come from all over the place and you look across the table and you're like, whoo, God has standards. They're just really, really low. God says, all of you come to me. All who are weary, I will give you rest. God says, let the children come to me. God says, let the poor and the sick come to me. And I hope our church can do the same. These goals that we write down on paper are just ink on a page until we live them out ourselves. All of the groups that we have in our church have opportunities to welcome new people into that space. Every time somebody walks into the church, I'm praying that they're greeted with a warm handshake and a smile from our greeters and our ushers and everybody who welcomes people into the church. I'm praying that we eliminate those little 1.5-inch barriers that are in doors all across the building and that we continue to look at ramps and we continue to look at our spaces. Can you get a wheelchair through here? Is this space safe for somebody to use with a walker? It's one of the reasons why we're looking at repaving our parking lot outside, because those little cracks are treacherous. And I imagine that at this point, though these are just 6 bullet points on a sheet of paper, at some point we're going to put some flesh and blood into all of these projects. together as we cook meals through the bigger table, an open table meal that we have once a month. Together as we continue to invest our time in discipleship systems and pathways. Together as we continue to renovate our spaces. Together as we continue to imagine what a sustainable youth and children's ministry would look like to grow for future generations. Together as we live into our values of being a church without walls. I pray that this church continues to reach more and more people as we welcome them into this relationship with Jesus Christ. The story of Scripture began with just two people in a garden. Imagine what God can do with billions of people in churches all across the world who continue to try to live out this promise of God. I'm inspired by the legacies of our church. Imagine No Malaria, Justice for Our Neighbors, the ongoing work of all kinds of ministries within the United Methodist Church, like UMCOR, who responds to every natural disaster and doesn't ask any questions about who somebody is, how much insurance they have, or what their challenges may be in life. The United Methodist Church doesn't ask questions about who people voted for in the last election. We don't care. Why? Because we affirm in our social principles of the United Methodist Church that all people are created in the image of God. And after that, the rest is just details. So as we go out and do this work, I pray that you be challenged. That the person that you are least excited to see when you go to brunch after church, that you look across them and find compassion in your heart, that some way you can look over there and see them and know that you don't agree about everything, but in them was the divine spark of creativity that God had when God knit them in their mother's womb. Every single person is created in the image and likeness of God. Let it be so in our world today. Amen.
Washes over me, your deep, deep love fills my every need. How I long to hear your voice call out my name. It draws me to your deep.
Thank you, choir. That was absolutely wonderful. As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to call your attention to the two prayer quotes we have today. One is for Gail Jones, and one is for Rob Eckfield. On your way out, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card, and let Rob and Gail know that we're wrapping them in the warmth of the quilt, as well as the warmth of our prayers and our love. Now, as we go into a time of prayer, glorious God and goodness of mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. We pray for our quilt recipients, Gail and Rob, and pray that they have the strength they need to get through the tough times they are going through. Let these quilts surround them with the warmth of the quilt, the prayers of the people, and the knowledge of your love. We thank you for the blessing that you have given us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. We want to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet, the ones that don't know yet that your love is there for them, the ones that don't know yet that they need you. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help, those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships, struggling with health issues, those that have lost loved ones, those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them, that you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. Encourage and assist all who suffer the ravages of hurricanes, wildfires, earthquakes, and all of the natural disasters. Relieve the needs of those who endure famine and war. Establish peace in the world. Cause anger and hostility to give way to reconciliation. Unite your church so that we may be an example of harmony and justice in a world torn by conflict. Reveal your will to all people. Fill us with the courage to live out your righteousness as a sign of your goodness. Guide us as we continue to build and improve our church, creating a warm and welcoming, barrier-free place for worship, learning, and helping those in need in our communities as well as throughout the world. With your help, we strive to make this a safe and comfortable place for all to be. In times of need and questions, the disciples went to Jesus for strength and guidance. Help us remember that Jesus is there for us as well, leading us, guiding us, and helping us to make the right choices for us, as well as the right choices for our friends and neighbors. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you, seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as our praises to you in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
As we invite the ushers to come forward this morning to receive today's offerings, I know we say it every week, but we really mean it. Yeah, Laura, come on forward too. Laura's going to have an announcement for us during our offering time. I just want to remind you that if you are a guest here this morning, if this is your first time or maybe your second time, know that your presence here is the gift that we long for, that we know God has sent you here for us to welcome, and we appreciate your presence here. If you are a regular attender, we are glad that you have decided to be a part of this community and continue to support it in all the ways that you do. Thank you. Laura, come and talk to us about some mission outreach.
Good morning. I am here with a CAS update for you today, but since I have your attention first, I'm also the chair of the mission committee, and so I wanted to invite anyone, if you were always looking for a few more members, so if anyone wants to be a part of our mission committee, or if you just have questions about things that we do in the church that you might want to be involved in, I welcome your comments or questions after the service. So CAS Community Social Services, a lot of you know about it because this church have been involved with them for a very long time. They are a group that is doing some pretty profound work in Detroit, treating a very diverse population, basically helping to provide basic needs. Food, housing, jobs. They serve over 700,000 meals per year to people in Detroit. They have multiple buildings for housing, permanent housing, temporary housing. They have a homeless shelter. They have a new warming shelter. They have the tiny homes. And if you haven't come with us to visit the tiny homes, that in itself is worth a trip with us down there because they're amazing. They also provide jobs through their green industries, where they take tires that have been illegally dumped in the city of Detroit, and they'll repurpose them and turn them into mud mats or shoes. Oh, so you're right. They have sandals. They reuse that rubber to make things. They have a business where they shred paper and then recycle paper, and they recycle cardboard. Just doing all sorts of wonderful things. We will go down there and basically do whatever they need at that moment. We might be painting, we might be working in the kitchen, we might be filling food boxes that will be then given to families to feed them for the week. We may be doing landscaping, just all sorts of possibilities. Most recently, we've been working at their warming center. So it's a new center they have this year. The city of Detroit realized that they didn't have enough space to house all the people who would be too cold this winter. So they asked CAS to make room for those people. So they refurbished this huge warehouse into an area with living space and showers and staff to help support people who need somewhere to stay warm during the day. They also needed places for them to sleep. So we've been building bed after bed after bunk bed and putting mattresses on those so that people have somewhere to spend the night. I can't tell you how satisfying it is to have a group of people that you know get to have a warm place to sleep because you were there that day building a bed. So for years and years, Greg Geis has been coordinating this mission for our church. He recently handed those reins off to me, but I really thank Greg for all of his years of service. He, even during the pandemic, when Cass lost most of their volunteers, he would still take a group there every month to help. So we really appreciate his efforts. We typically, and just so you know, he still provides Oreos to the trip and still comes every Saturday. He's just not leading our group. But there are Oreos every time you come with the newest, latest, and greatest flavor, so that's always a bonus of our trip. We typically go the second Saturday of the month. We meet at 8 o'clock out in the parking lot. You bring a lunch. We carpool over. We're home by 4 o'clock. We have a great time helping people. I'll put you on an email list. If anyone is interested in getting a heads up about the times that we go, they're also listed on the church website. We really have a good time, and so I hope some of you will join us. There's really nothing like spending your Saturday in service to others to make you feel good and to make others feel good as well. Thank you.
We thank you for the many and varied gifts you have given us. We know all we have comes from you, and we strive to be gracious givers to the mission and ministry of this church. Please accept the offerings we bring in the name of your gracious Son, Jesus. Amen.
Well, as we heard in the scriptures earlier this morning, we are one body with many parts, each of us unique in our giftedness, each of us unique in our perspectives, each of us unique in our abilities to make a difference in this world. I want to say this as clear as I possibly can. We couldn't do the ministry that God is calling us to do without each and every one of you. And we can't do the ministry that God's calling us to do in the future without people that we haven't even met yet, who may come into our fold, who may be a part of the ministries that God is calling us to do in the future. So let us be a church without walls, one body with many parts, with hands and eyes and feet and ears and hearts. We each bring something unique. Let us use it to God's glory. Let us go out with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.